Welcome to the Pop Zara Podcast. Like, love, or follow us today on Facebook, Twitter, and more.
The entire time I knew Thanos, he only ever had one goal. To wipe out half the universe.
We are out of time.
Welcome back, true believers. That's right, this is the Pop Zara Podcast, here talking about superheroes, ensembles, spandex, and all that good stuff. And all that, of course, could mean none other than the Marvel Cinematic Universe's epic climax, 10 years in the making, Avengers Infinity War. And talking about Avengers Infinity War, we have an ensemble of our own superheroes. We've got together editors Annette Palmer and Chris Wolfman Mitchell to talk all about this stuff in a spoiler-laden review of the movie. What that means is, if you haven't seen the film, turn this off, go see it, come back. Unless you like spoilers, then stay hard. We're going to spoil everything. We're going to reveal everything. Basically, if you don't want to see the movie and you're too cheap, just listen to this podcast. It's just as good. So we'll save you some money. So with that, you know, those laughs you heard, Annette, Chris, welcome to the Popstar Podcast.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
Hey.
So this is a special thing for Chris because he rarely comes out of the cave.
Right.
He's usually behind the scenes making us all sound so beautiful.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Well, thanks.
So thank you for howling, Chris. So let's start off real quick with a little bit of information about the movie, and then I'll turn it to you, Annette. So Avengers Infinity War, is it Infinity Wars or Infinity War? I've
wars.
Heard both. Is it
oh,
wars
I,
or war?
I thought it was just Infinity, Infinity War. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Let's look it up.
I feel like I'm in school, don't you? Like,
right, just to be on the same side, yeah. Oh.
No, it's war, yeah.
Yeah.
Avengers Infinity War. Just one more.
It's kind of like that old, it's like that Dave Chappelle joke about the Wayans brothers? It's like, there's more?
You're right, exactly.
It's plural. So anyway, over the weekend, Avengers Infinity War made over $257 million, making it the leading box office champ of all time in North America, destroying the previous record of Star Wars The Force Awakens, destroying every Marvel record except for one, and that was the Monday after box office total. Black Panther still owns the Monday after. So Black Panther, salute. You still have a record. So moving this together, this is the 19th film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I want to go through that list real quick because, wow, 10 years in the making, 19 films, that's an average of almost two films a year. Starting in 2008, we had Iron Man, followed by Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, the First Avenger, Marvel's The Avengers, first one, Iron Man 3, Thor, The Dark World, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers, Age of Ultron, that's the second one, Ant-Man, Captain America Civil War, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, and leads us to Avengers Infinity War. That's the third one. That's a lot of movies. So, and you and I were talking before, and we made a point to say, I was thinking that if you hadn't seen all these other movies, then you'd be lost. And you said, no, you don't need to see all the movies. Is that true?
That is true. I was not lost at all. I could follow the story entirely, although I have to say the more movies that you have seen that led up to this movie, I think the more nuances that you'll catch. So if you've seen, because I only saw Black Panther and Thor Ragnarok. But if you've seen the other movies, there's probably a good chance that you'll get more of the details and more of the little side stories that kind of are interwoven within this movie.
Does Infinity War, that's singular, Infinity War want to make you go back and watch some of the movies you hadn't seen to sort of fill in the blanks?
Me personally, no. Only because it does have such a final ending that I feel like until that ending is somehow resolved, I feel like going back, I don't know, I guess I'm more of a kind of move forward kind of person than go back kind of person. I don't know.
You would hate Breaking Bad, I'll tell you that.
Like, you know what? I watched one episode and I wasn't a fan of it and I never went back.
Wow. It's like, I don't know, Chris, do you remember we talked about this when people started watching the HBO show The Sopranos when it became popular?
Yeah.
And they start watching like on season four, like, why is everybody so angry? You know,
it's like, you have to go back. Yeah,
I hate this show. It's not well written.
No, it is. Just gotta go back. Yeah, it's just. Yeah, but it's hard though. But yeah, you definitely gotta go back to the beginning.
So, Chris, now Annette, you might not know this. Chris has not only seen every single one of these films, but I believe you've seen them all either in 4K or you will be seeing them all in 4K.
Right.
Correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The, they love sending Chris 4K Ultra Blu-rays. So,
right.
Very nice.
Yes.
Box. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, Chris, as the requisite comic book guru, I know you and I were talking right before the podcast, and you were telling me things about this film that even I didn't catch.
Okay.
So, what's your honest view as the as someone who's seen every single one of these things? And by the way, Annette, pretty much every comic book movie ever made, including some you've never even heard of. So, like, right. Yeah, that's he's a trooper. So, what did you think of Avengers: Infinity War?
Oh, well, yeah, well, I definitely loved it. It was. I know I had a lot of my friends say is that some people were saying it was all over the place, but I liked it because it was just pretty cool seeing them fight this war on different fronts. And then, of course, like me and you talked about earlier about Thanos, how they changed him. He's not as just obsessed with death like he is in the comics. So that was nice that he changed it. So it was more like about love and loss this time, especially with the relationship he got with Gamora. So that was nice. That's how you knew the movie was going to be a lot of, you know, have a lot of feels in it, thanks to that. Yeah, but I liked it, though. Yeah,
so,
it was a great movie.
Was there a lot of, like, dust in the theater? A lot of, you know, wiping dust out of eyes?
I'm sure there was. I'm pretty sure there was. Of course, there was cheers and laughter, of course, when the jokes came, especially Drax. I know you remember that part, you know, when he was like, I'm invisible, you know, but yet you're eating chips. He's like, I'm invisible, you know. So well. He's like, hey, Drax. He's like, damn it.
So, Annette, here's the thing. So even if you haven't seen all 19 films or you've seen enough, so I'm not a comic book fan. I know, Chris, you read some more than I do. I'm not a comic book fan, so I wanted to see how, you know, accurate this was going to be. So I made a mistake of going on Wikipedia and researching the source material. And I got to tell you, I have a headache. So I looked up, what was it, Chris? You know this, Infinity Stone or Infinity
yes.
Gauntlet. Or
oh, yeah,
Infinity
there you go.
This or that,
yes.
Infinity Sandwich. So... So I'm looking up all the stuff, and I got to tell you, had they made this accurate to the comic books, it would have been the stupidest movie you've ever seen. It wouldn't have made any sense whatsoever.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think the biggest thing, let's start with, okay, here's your spoiler alert. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. Going forward, we reveal all. Yeah. So if you've seen the movie, fine. If you haven't seen the movie, free tickets on us by not having to go see the movie. So the general plot concerns amassing almost, but not all, of the individual characters from the original movie. I think you made this point, Annette. Ant-Man is not in the movie, but he is referenced.
Right.
So Ant-Man's not there because Ant-Man's got a sequel coming out
in
November.
Yeah.
Hawkeye. Oh, goodness. So basically, you have Thanos, the big baddie who we glimpsed in the original Avengers movie, sitting on a throne. Different voice actor. Who was that voice actor who played Thanos in the original film?
Oh, wow. I can't remember. I know the guy. I believe he was a black guy. I can't remember his name, though. I know. Go figure.
Yep. Got to replace him with a white guy.
So, right. And what makes it worse, he's also doing Thanos and Cable and Deadpool too. So it's crazy.
Yeah. Did you guys see the trailer for the
yes.
Deadpool?
Yes. They showed it right before the movie too. Yeah. He was like, "Hey, way to go." He's like, "Pump the hate breaks, Thanos."
So you got a lot of James Brolin this year, which
yes.
is pretty cool.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Because he's been one of those up and comers in Hollywood. They've tried to make him into a star for like 15 years, and it hasn't ever.
Yeah,
exactly. Hasn't ever quite hit a lot of box office bombs, but I think finally he might be here.
Yes.
So
yeah.
So the original storyline, as it were, involves Thanos trying to prove his love to his big girlfriend by taking over the universe and killing half the people of the universe, and thankfully, that's sort of been swapped out with a much, much better storyline of Thanos trying to basically eradicate half the people for population reasons. Am I right?
Right.
So I want to give a little political history lesson to those people listening, because you might hear this pop up. So for those who don't know, and I do know now because I read Wikipedia, so Thanos was created in 1973 by a guy named Mike Friedrich and artist Jim Starlin. And he's basically, and Chris, you can correct me if I'm wrong, he's basically a giant ripoff of the DC Universe's Darkseid.
Yes. Yep.
Who, by the way, the artist also drew Darkseid, so it's a little bit of self-plagiarism there. Mm-hmm. And that happened all the time back in the 70s. People ripped off, they copied, they did all this stuff. It was all a good time. It was basically a comic version of swinging. So, anyway, Now, Thanos comes from a time when the world thought the population was going to explode. They even wrote a book about it. It's called The Population Bomb. It came out in 68. Basically, there's too many people, not enough food, mass chaos, hysteria, dogs and cats living together, all that kind of stuff, and we're all going to kill each other. So the storyline of this movie, and I want to get your opinion in that because you brought this up in the review, but yes. didn't spoil it because you're a good writer. Thank you.
Thank you.
So Thanos wants to get rid of half the population because he thinks that with half the population in the universe, people will be happier, more content, and live life to their fullest. Of course,
yes.
Until they breed like rabbits and they've got to be eradicated again. So
exactly.
So you guys want to hear a fun fact? So Thanos is basically an eco-warrior. He would be big on Earth Day. So did you guys know that the guy who founded Earth Day, his name is Ira Einhorn, the guy who founded Earth Day was actually convicted of killing and composting his girlfriend. Did you know this?
I did hear about that.
Yeah. So the guy who founded, I'll say that again, the guy who founded Earth Day, Ira Einhorn, killed and recycled his girlfriend's corpse. Hmm. So he's basically Thanos. And that's the era that Thanos comes from. He comes from when we thought that the Earth was going to be overpopulated. We needed to recycle our girlfriends. So basically, he's not a very good guy. So, but my question to you, Ned, is Thanos really a bad guy? Or is he more nuanced than that, despite the fact he wants to genocide half the universe?
You know, he's a complicated character, which makes me kind of like him more and kind of like him less, because he's one of those characters where when you really sit down and think about him, it can almost give you a headache a little bit. I think he has good intentions. I just think his actions are misplaced.
and
the fact that, again, here's a spoiler, the fact that he's willing to sacrifice, like, he literally makes the ultimate sacrifice to try to do something that he truly believes in. I think, you know, that just makes him, I don't even know
let's
how to
talk
call
about,
it.
Let's talk about this ultimate sacrifice in this spoiler-laden review. So,
yes.
What does Thanos have to sacrifice in order to gain the ultimate power of the universe by the Infinity Stones?
He has to kill his daughter, Gamora.
Woo! So what you're saying is, just like our Earth Day founder, he had to sacrifice his own daughter to get the Infinity Stone.
And the way he does it, I have to say, is so heartbreaking. And the actress who plays Gamora is so good. I mean, he literally has to throw her off a cliff.
Right.
And it was the way she was, like, begging him not to and, like, you know, hitting his big hand. I mean, compared to his size, she almost looked like a child throwing a temper tantrum. Except she knew what was coming. And, you know, in the whole movie up to that point, you know, she kept digging at him and she kept, you know, just calling him out on everything. And in the last moments, it's like you almost feel like she almost wanted to take it all back, if only to save her own life. But there was nothing she could have done. And, you know, and with one hand, he just picked up her little body and just threw her off that cliff.
He called her bluff, didn't he?
You know,
it's like, if you're ever going to throw a tantrum, that's the time to throw a tantrum.
Right. And then it was even worse, too, because while he was doing that, you could just see the pain on his face, too. While he was doing it. Like, he really didn't want to do it, but he knew he had to do it. But at least in his mind, he had to do it. But, yeah.
Right.
So, that part got to me. Yeah. It was rough.
So Gamora is Thanos's, let's just say, daughter by theft. Can we say that?
Daughter by kidnapping.
daughter by kidnapping and genocide. Because, it's a very interesting scene. So, but in the movies, and what was her name, Chris? What was,
Nebula?
Nebula, played by April, what's her name?
Oh, Karen Gillian?
Karen Gillian. I always think of her as Amy Pond from, Doctor Who.
Right.
Yeah, and another movie you saw and reviewed, Jumanji, the new Jumanji movie. She was in that as well.
That's right.
So if Nebula is Gamora's half-sister, then what exactly is her relationship to Thanos? Because I'll be honest with you, spoilers, she was being tortured by Thanos.
Right.
Yes. And
apparently Thanos had a favorite.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly it, too.
Thanos definitely had a favorite. Like, you don't torture your least favorite daughter.
Exactly.
Well, the way they explained it in the movie, apparently, I don't think Thanos initially wanted to take Nebula. I think she actually tried to the way they said it was to break into his ship or something like that. I may be mistaken here. Right. To save Gamora, and he caught her, and that's why he kept her the way that he did, because he didn't. Yeah. I guess he felt that she was more of a threat than Gamora, or he wanted to keep Gamora and not. I admit there may be some disconnect here for me, but that you know was, what, I believe, you know, the backstory.
You know what else was disconnected? Nebula. Like, when you saw her, she was all
quite
pulled
apart.
Yes. That was freaky. Yeah.
That was so freaky.
That was freaky. Moving on from this whole population and genocide and things, I just want to let you know, Ira Einhorn, the guy, again, who founded Earth Day, who composted his wife, had a really cool nickname, a supervillain nickname. They called him the Unicorn. So,
okay.
Wow. For all of you people who think we live in hell now, the 70s was worse.
Yeah.
So, boss.
Yes, the 70s was much worse. So moving forward from the 70s up to the 90s, up to the modern day, so let's talk about Avengers. Let's do some spoilers. Let's talk about what the movie is. The movie's a gimmick. The movie is, let's take all these characters from these different movies, smush them all together, and we'll somehow make it make sense. So, Chris, I was telling you I have a little spoiler for you.
Okay.
So a lot of people think, oh my goodness, look how innovative the Marvel movies are. Let's talk about this and that. The Marvel movies were not the first to do anything that they do. When we're talking about setting up pre-planned trilogies and pre-planned series, we had that with Star Wars already, especially with the prequels and the new movies. You know there's going to be another movie coming along, so you know you have to hold the events as they are. When you talk about someone like creator Stan Lee, who's in every single movie, Pixar did that with John Ratzenberger, you know.
Right.
Also, by the way, both of those franchises owned by Disney, who owns Marvel. So,
woo. Wow.
Right.
So, but what the Marvel movies have done, and I think more successfully than any franchise in history, has made you not get tired of them. They've successfully managed to keep your interest. They keep your interest peaked up, and they've been able to do it in a very competitive atmosphere that includes things like Star Wars, that includes Harry Potter, that includes Twilight, that includes all these other major, let's just be honest, copycats, all these trilogies where you're going to see three movies and a fourth one that ends everything. But we got tired of those. Have you noticed that? We got tired of the vampire werewolf movies. We got tired of the magic movies. We got tired of even zombie movies. But nobody's getting tired of the Marvel movies. And Chris, I'm sorry I have to do this. I got to bring it up. I got to bring up the ultimate copycat. Because, again, it's comic book stuff. They all rip off each other.
Right.
So the DC movies, and that is what I want to get your opinion on. So the DC movies have had, let's just say, a slightly bumpier ride, unless your movie is called Batman. So they themselves tried to set up their own cinematic universe with, I think it was 2013's Man of Steel. Was that the first one?
That was,
And instead of layering it on slowly, they just went full throttle right to the right on the second
they
film.
They did, They
started smooshing everyone together, and by the second film with, was it Batman versus Superman? Or
there
Superman
you go.
Versus...
Yeah, that was it, Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, and then they just did it backwards, and I think with the exception of Wonder Woman, which was 2016.
There you go.
Yeah.
There has not been much love for the DC Universe, and I want to bring this. I bring this up for a very good reason, a very nerdy reason. So the first two Avengers movies were written and directed by Joss Whedon. The guy that half of you people love and half of you people hate. He did things like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV series he did. What was that? Is it
Let's see, Firefly.
Firefly.
Yes.
Yeah. Was it Dolls?
Oh yeah, Dollhouse.
Dollhouse.
Yes.
Dollhouse.
Yeah. Dollhouse. Firefly. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Dollhouse, and I think one of the Aliens movies. And so, or wrote them. He basically has a formula that he's going to have a team led by a kick-ass female who could do martial arts. And they're going to beat the bad guys. And that's the formula. And it works really well at the point. But there were very significant problems by the time the second Avengers movie rolled around in 2015, to the point where I think even fans said, we don't really like this very much. And there was controversy. And eventually he exited the Marvel Universe. But he found a home with the DC Universe. And he himself was picked to help finish the Justice League movie. And Justice League movie, which is supposed to be their Avengers, came out last November. It didn't do very well. It bombed critically. It bombed at the box office. To put it in perspective, people, this movie today, Avengers Infinity War, made more money in 3 days than the entire Justice League movie made in its entire run.
Wow.
By the way, so did Black Panther. Yeah. So, there you go. So, now that we have new people, Chris, what are they? The Russo Brothers?
Yes.
Is that him?
Yep.
Russo Brothers?
Yep.
Known for television script writing and directing. They did, Arrested Development.
Yep.
They did a lot of shows on NBC, I think. Did they do Community?
I'm not sure. That's a good question.
Like shows I don't watch. Do you watch these shows, Annette? I know you don't even watch Breaking Bad, so what do you know? But going forward though, so we have new directors, new writers, and I gotta tell you, the change is dramatic. So I'm gonna start with you, Annette. So you haven't seen Avengers 1 or 2, right? But you've seen this one.
Right.
So what did you think? What did you think as a film that's the 19th film in a franchise that has 5 billion trillion characters? Was it easy to follow, and would you recommend it to people who have never seen a comic book movie? They wouldn't know their Superman from their Ant Wasp thing.
Well, honestly, I'm actually one of those people for the most part. I would definitely recommend this movie. You asked the right person, Nathan.
I
would recommend this movie.
It's almost like I knew the answer. It's crazy.
I think it's a fun movie. Like I was telling Chris before, I think there are a few things in the storyline that I feel made it kind of like it was more of a means to an end. Uh-huh. And we can talk about that if you guys want to. I felt like there were two major mistakes that they weren't really mistakes, but they were kind of forced. I felt like the writers could have handled it just a little bit smoother and a little bit better and still have the same result. But other than that, I think it's a super fun movie. I think the ending has a shock value that does keep people talking. And, you know, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's so successful. Even I, who, you know, I'm not like a superhero fanatic and, you know, this is my third Marvel movie that I've ever seen. I went and saw this movie twice. I saw it twice.
Hey, let's qualify that. The first time you saw it was at a press screening for professional journalists like yourself. Courtesy of Disney. So, Annette, you were invited by Disney to see this film before it was released. So, just all of you people out there who think Annette is making this up, she's awesome. And she's awesome. Disney loves her because she's a journalist. So, there you go. Nanya. So, we're going to revisit what you just said. But, Chris, same question opposite. As someone who's seen everything under the sun. Now, you know this as well as I do. Movie people, specifically movie people online, love to bitch. They love to bitch and moan and tear things apart and find fault with everything. If you gave them chocolate-flavored gold bricks and you said interest-free, they'd turn their nose up. Like, it's not shiny enough. It's terrible. It's not as square.
Right.
So as someone who's seen that and who's well aware of all the naysayers, same question from Matt. Would you recommend this for someone who doesn't normally watch comic book movies?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they've made it. Where, you know, I can't really say they dumbed it down. That wouldn't be fair to say. But, you know, you could tell they tried to make it simpler. So, yeah, even if you've never seen any of the previous movies, you know, you could just follow it. It's basically like Annette said earlier that, you know, she said she hadn't even seen a lot of other ones. But if you had seen them, then you would probably feel a little bit closer to the characters. But it's not really necessary. You could just go in there and go see it. You know, I definitely highly recommend it. Like one of the best action movies I've seen and one of the best comic book movies I've seen, if not the best. So,
So what you're saying is, now I want to reiterate that I tried to look up the original storyline on Wikipedia.
Hey,
and
yes.
I got to tell you, I'm someone who studies classical Chinese on my free time. And I couldn't make heads or tails. I thought to myself, this is so convoluted. This is so stupid. This is so confusing. If they tried to do this, people would be running for the hills. But like you said, they didn't. I don't think they dumbed it down. I think they said, you know what? This makes a lot more sense in this mess.
Right. Yeah.
We can get right down to it. So, so we'll revisit the whole had you seen it later. But Annette, now you were saying that you found a couple things that felt a little ham-fisted. So take us through these major complaints that you think spoiled the movie. And I'm just kidding.
I don't think they spoiled the movie. I think it was kind of like when you're watching it, you're like, well, that was silly kind of thing. And there were two obvious ones that stood out to me. The first one was when they were about to take the glove off of Thanos. They were so close to getting it off. And then Star-Lord comes in and he wants vengeance for Gamora. And had he waited another 30 seconds, you know, Thanos, he would have killed him and the movie would have been over right there. But, you know, he was hot-headed and he didn't want to wait. And I felt like that was kind of silly.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Really?
Yeah.
You couldn't have waited another 20 seconds?
Like, yeah, I was like, oh, man, it was so close, too.
No, I know, right? Yeah. And yeah. that just, I mean, it kind of reflects on Star-Lord. But for me, because I really don't know who he is as a character, to me, it just kind of reflected more on the writers. I was kind of like, come on, guys, you know, this could have been written just a little better. Yeah. And then the second thing was when Black Panther opened Wakanda to the attack. I was like, are you serious right now? Like, maybe 10% of the attackers were actually getting through the wall and surviving it. Mm. And you're just going to open it up so everybody can come in? I mean, and now my question is, if he had not opened it up, would Thanos even been able to come in and, you know, and kill Vision and get the final? So I feel like that, to me, I'm like, there should have been another way. And maybe that's exactly what needed to happen in this movie. But I feel like the writers should have gone about it a little bit differently. Because to me, that was just kind of like a freebie.
No,
like both of those
I thought
like
that
freebies.
Too. I thought that too. I think I can explain the Star-Lord one, but the Wakanda one. So they have this giant super shield that can deflect basically meteors, right?
Right.
And they have thousands of little anonymous creatures that look like something from Silent Hill, the game, trying to bust in there. Yeah. And there were, and so is it Neri? What's her name? The scientist girl, the cutie one from Black Panther, the smartest
yeah.
one.
Oh,
forgot her
I
name,
don't
but
her
yeah,
name.
For her, yeah.
So she's operating on
Vision.
She's operating on Vision, trying to extract the thing. And meanwhile, these bad guys just sort of just show up and they get right through the security. How does that happen?
Right.
So they somehow get through the force field. They somehow get through this well-guarded place that everyone should be guarding at this moment. But they somehow get through everything.
Yeah.
And then they somehow trick this super smart person, the smartest person in the world, they say, to get away from Vision. They fool her.
Mm-hmm.
So, which leads me to my question. So I want to go back to this for a second. How cool were the minions from Thanos? Because I didn't expect to like them as much as I did. Real quick, so you had that.
Oh
you had
yeah,
that
dim.
Gross,
yeah,
that math teacher. He looked like Balky Balktonimus from Perfect Strangers. Remember him?
Yes.
He had the receding hairline, but he was really cool.
Yeah, he was. He looked like a Star Wars reject.
Yes, exactly. He looked like Star Wars, but he was totally competent.
He was
really good at his job, and he was more powerful than anybody else, and he kicked everybody's ass.
Basically.
And the only reason he's not around is because Tony Stark and Spider-Man, spoilers, pulled a Indiana Jones on him and sort of cheated.
Right.
And so, okay.
Yeah.
That's how you put it earlier. That's kind of how they defeated all of them, really.
Yeah.
And what Brant, you know, Bruce Banner using the Iron Man suit, he just attached a glove to him and shot him through the shield. It's like, really?
And then you had one female, and this goes to you. So, again, you haven't seen a lot of the other movies, but there's a lot of female superheroes and villains in this, and the main one is Scarlett Johansson, right?
Right.
And she play what's
Black
her character's
Widow.
Name?
Yeah.
Black Widow. Mm-hmm. Which still hasn't got her own movie yet. Go
they
figure.
They keep talking about it. Yeah.
Talking about it. It'll happen.
Yeah.
So you notice when they're fighting on the Wakanda field, they sort of segregate the sexes? Like,
yes.
All the women sort of fight the women and all the men
yes.
sort of fight the men.
I noticed that right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Yep.
Girl fight.
And they made the. Yeah. And they, at least, thank God, they didn't make the joke like, no man can defeat me. Well, I'm a man.
Right. Right.
God, they didn't do that. They did not do that, thank God.
Yes.
But they came close. Like, she's not alone.
And
so Black Widow comes up, and the only reason they win is because of an accident. Because of that thing runs her over and smooshes her.
Right.
And her little blue goo came everywhere. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, the euphemism there is not appropriate for this podcast. I think we all know. So, but anyway, that's how they won the bad guys, by sheer luck and accidents.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because you know how Scarlet Witch, you know how she can manipulate reality and stuff to her favor. So, I know, it's just crazy, you know. So, really?
Yeah. You know. But to be fair, the Black Panther movie, which came before, which you did see in it,
yes.
They didn't do that. Like, the women were the kick-ass warriors, and the women kicked the crap out of the men all the time. And in this movie, they kind of separated that, and it was very noticeable to me that they had the women fight the women, they had the men fight the men.
Right. Mm-hmm. I also think that they did not develop the female superheroes as much as they did the male superheroes. And you were saying how, you know, Scarlet Witch doesn't have her own movie yet.
Yes.
And just from watching this movie, I mean, I didn't really feel like I even got to know her very well, so like, okay, so what would this movie be about, kind of, you know? Because she doesn't,
she doesn't really
give a lot of personality. And, you know, Marvel superhero people, don't hate me for this, but I forgot the other female superhero's name, the one who was in love with Vision.
Oh, yeah, that's Scarlet Witch, yeah.
Oh, that's Scarlet Witch. Then I'm talking about
Black
Scarlet
Widow.
Johansson's
I know, right?
To quote Peter Parker in this movie, I don't remember all your names. Because they said that. They said
Arthur Parker with Doctor Strange. He was like, I'm Doctor Strange. Like, oh, we're using our made-up names. Oh, I'm Spider-Man.
And I love that part. That was awesome.
Yeah. And then he tries to save them. And he's like, I don't know all your names. Cause it, like,
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah.
But to be fair, Annette, you bring up a very good point. Thank you. Because both of the things that you and Chris are talking about were major problems in Avengers 2. And those two things led Josh Whedon to being kicked off the franchise, because the most important one was in Avengers 2, Scarlett Johansson. See, I can't remember her name. She's such a boring
Black
character.
Widow.
Yeah, Black Widow. Black Widow.
They had a romance with the Hulk.
Yep.
Oh.
And that led to a lot of backlash, because they felt that he had written her as saying that her not able to have children with the Hulk made her a monster. In fact, they actually said that in the movie, that she was a monster because she couldn't have children.
Right.
And they shoehorned this stupid romance between these two twins and Vision, which was, they had to kill off the brother, the what's his name, Chris?
Oh,
the
Quicksilver?
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Terrible character in that movie. And
yeah.
And then they sort of smooshed together Scarlet Witch and Vision because they needed romance.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I actually enjoyed their relationship.
Yeah.
I thought the part in Wakanda where Scarlet Witch, I guess, when she finally comes onto the battlefield and literally like eradicates everything in sight, and then I don't remember who it was that says, "Where was she this whole time?"
Yeah, it was.
That kind of was my question. I'm like,
dead.
"Where was she this whole time?"
Yes.
Like, hello.
Well, she was guarding Vision. Then you notice as soon as she left, that's when the bad guys magically just came into base. It's like, yeah, right. She's out. Yeah.
Do you remember, Chris? In I don't know. Has either of you seen the? I know you have, Chris. But Annette, have you seen the original Godfather?
Oh wow.
And this is the problem I have with this movie, is dumb logic, because this is a movie that references Alien, right? Mm-hmm. Aliens as a way to beat the bad guys. But the whole Wakanda scene was right out of Godfather, where, do you remember remember Don Corleone, he's been shot, Chris, and they put him in the hospital, and the whole storyline is about Michael, you know, Al Pacino, getting mad at the cops because the cops won't protect him.
Right.
And so they leave a bunch of stupid nurses to protect him, right?
Mm.
They did the exact same thing in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, you have this guy with the Infinity Stone. You're in frickin' Wakanda. You need to protect this stone, and nobody's watching.
Right.
Like soldiers.
Right.
And you have Scarlet Witch, who doesn't need to be there. So it's dumb logic. And, and like you said, if these dumb things hadn't happened, the movie would have been over in 10 minutes. And so, so I guess what you're saying is, Annette, you need dumb characters to make these movies work. Doing dumb
you need
things.
Dumb characters, or you need really smooth writers who can make the dumb characters do dumb things without people realizing that they're doing dumb things.
There you go. Thank you.
If that makes any sense.
That does.
And by the way, again, this is a movie where Star-Lord and Peter Parker have a whole thing about Kevin Bacon and 80s movies and Flashdance.
Yeah.
So they're self-aware that these movies have the exact same plots as these other movies.
That is
remember,
funny.
Yeah, one of the funniest scenes is when Star-Lord is Flashdance still the greatest movie ever? And Peter Parker's like, it never was.
Right. Yeah. Come on, Footloose and stuff. Yeah,
Footloose, yeah.
Yes.
See, I can't even tell that.
Right. I know so many. He's like, if
but
you say one more pop culture reference one more time with Tony
but
Peter.
But they're self-aware. You remember? Like, Mantis. What's her name? Is it her name Mantis?
Yes, this
little
that's
thing?
Her. Yeah.
He's like, I thought Kevin Bacon's an Avenger. You
right,
know?
Yep.
So... All right, well, moving past Wakanda, moving past all this stuff, get wrapped up. So let's delve into the final part. Let's delve into the ending and what it means.
Oh, yeah.
So let's take us through it. So, Annette, take us through. So Wakanda happens. A lot of dumb people do a lot of dumb things. And I would say, before we get there, would you both agree that the way they handled stacking like a billion superheroes is they put them in teams? Mm-hmm. And you'll notice that at no time do these different teams always – are on the screen together. Have you noticed that?
Yes. Yep.
You'll have
yes.
the team in space, the team in Wakanda, the team over here, team over there, and they kind of meet at the end, but not really.
Yep.
So the resolution is, of course, Thanos, spoiler, gets all the Infinity Stones. We won't say how he gets them because it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And he gets all the Infinity Stones. And Chris, what was his promise? What was his goal?
Yeah, remember when Doctor Strange talked to him? Yeah, he just said it. Like, what was your end game? And he was like, well, once I'm done, he's like, I'm going to go home and watch the sun rise on a grateful universe.
So let's say he gets all the Infinity Stones, and he has a change of heart, and he becomes a good guy, and he lets the Avengers off, right?
Wow.
And everybody's happy, because you want a happy movie. You want a happy ending, people go out cheering, and the good guys win. So that's what happened, right?
Nope.
Annette?
Not even a little.
So tell us, here's the major spoiler. If you haven't seen the movie, you don't want any spoiler. If you're still on this podcast, why?
Right.
If you are, give us a good review on iTunes. But moving forward, so what happened, Annette? He gets all the Infinity Stones. The Avengers, they try as hard as they can. What happens?
They do. Well, in a sentence, they killed all the superheroes.
How did they kill them? How did they kill them?
It was literally a dust bath. He turned them to dust, and it was really sad, actually. And I wanted to ask you guys this one question. I know I don't usually ask questions of the podcast group, but I have a question, and I think it'll be interesting.
We'll allow it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Did you have a favorite death scene? Was there any one death that particularly struck you?
Well, already.
I mean, there were so many
throughout
this movie.
Yes, I told you. It literally made, I'm not even joking. I know it probably be like, ooh, you sound crazy. But no, it actually made me have a wave of feels come over me when Peter clung to Tony and said, I don't want to go. And then, you could tell it was killing the both of them, too, because Tony looks at him like a son, and he's looking at him like a dad, too. So he's like, I don't want to go. And then he just looked at him. He just said, I'm sorry. And so he disappeared. Yeah, that got me right there. The way Tony just looked away like, okay, I'm done. I'm broken. I can't be Iron Man anymore. That's it. I'm done. I lost Pepper and I lost Peter. So, I'm done.
So let's be clear. Only half of them died because that was his goal, that he was going to give away half
the universe.
Half the universe. So some lived. And so the movie basically turned into Left Behind.
It did.
So, so if you didn't pray at the altar of Thanos, dust to dust.
Basically, yes.
Right.
So moving forward, though, the one that got to me was one of my least favorite characters was Vision. Because now he didn't die from dust, but the way Thanos just ripped his head open.
Yeah, that was nasty. Yeah.
Like you're dead. You're done.
And the way he just rolled over and he was like in black and white like that too. I was like, well, damn.
Yeah. And no spoilers. Big spoiler. At the end of the movie, after the credits, of course, there is a scene, and we'll talk about that in a second.
Yes.
But finally, Samuel Jackson shows up. Because where's he been the whole damn movie? And to me, he had the funniest death.
Yeah.
Can we all agree with that?
Yes, he did.
That was
funny.
But to say one of his trademark lines.
he pulled a Bruce Willis in like the PG-13 Die Hard, let's just say that, where he couldn't quite say the whole famous word that rhymes with ducker.
Sure.
There you go. Yeah. Just what mother trucker.
You know what? I'll be honest. If I just random little thought here. Howard the Duck was not in this movie.
I know. He should have been.
And Howard the Duck has been in like a lot of these Marvel movies, like the Guardian stuff. And I would really like to see Howard the Duck in this movie.
Maybe in the second one. We'll see.
Just to be clear, that Howard the Duck has been in the Guardians of the Galaxy on all the Guardians of the Galaxy's movie at some point, and. Yep. He's been a standout. He's only been in the movie for like 15 seconds, but he's always been a fun. Speaking of cameos, Stan Lee was in the movie, of course.
Yes, everybody laughed at that part, too.
At the bus driver?
Yes, that was hilarious.
What did he say, Chris?
Oh, that's what he was like. Hey, he was like, hey, you kids, you act like you've never seen a spaceship before. That was something to that effect. That was funny.
Yeah, that was funny. That was really good.
So, moving forward, as we come to a close, let's talk about the one thing everybody wants here. So, we talked about the characters. We talked about the deaths. I want to leave it on a happy note. So, I want to talk about action. One big criticism the Marvel movies have always had is the fact is sometimes there's not a very good mix of action and basically comedy, whereas the characters will get together, they'll all talk with each other, then they'll go and punch each other. So, this was a really big problem in Avengers 2. I think, Chris, you and I have talked in private about this, where the movie just sort of becomes a little dull.
Yeah.
Because it just becomes who can punch each other who while spouting off one-liners. Now, Annette, I don't know if you're a big video game player. I don't know if you've ever played the game Marvel vs. Superheroes or What is it? What's the one?
Marvel Superheroes and Marvel versus Capcom and
Marvel versus Capcom.
All those games, yeah.
But that's where
I haven't.
Full disclosure, that's where Thanos really became popular.
Yes.
Because he was a character in those video games, and you can tell, and I think we all know, that the people who made this movie were big fans of those games.
Right.
Because they took all the superpowers from those games and put them in this movie, and it was pretty spectacular. So let's talk about our favorite action scene. So, Annette, what is your favorite action scene that does not involve Scarlet Witch?
Oh, you know what? And it kind of actually ties in with my question about favorite death. I think the very first 5 or 10 minutes, another spoiler, of course, when Thanos kills Loki, that was so unexpected and it came so fast. And I think I said this in my review without actually mentioning Loki. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that was kind of the catalyst to the movie. And it was very much foreshadowing the tone of the movie. Because if Thanos can kill Loki, like, all bets are off, you know, mm-hmm. I felt like. So I feel that scene, and when he kicked Hulk's ass, I was like, whoa,
yep.
You know, like he just tossed him aside like he was nothing. So I feel like that scene, it really got me engaged into the movie. It made me like sit up and watch kind of thing. That was probably my favorite of all.
That's very observant, because in the original Avengers movie, those were two actual things that were the big parts of that movie. Whereas how are we going to beat these guys? And Tony Stark would say, well, we have a Hulk, as though the Hulk was the game changer.
Yep.
And they would send Hulk off. And, of course, Loki kept dying. Loki has died more than anybody else in this series.
I know.
Keeps dying. And they made fun of that. He's like, yep, no resurrections this time.
Right.
Yep.
Yep, crack your neck. So
that hurt me, too.
Yeah, I'm sure it hurt him, too. Neck crack.
Yeah.
So, Chris, action scene for you.
Yeah, well, hey, I guess I got to feel bad because Annette, she kind of beat me to it. Yeah, that whole part with the Hulk, that got me right there. I was like, I had to cover my mouth because of how crazy it was. I was like, wow, he's just beating the living crap out of the Hulk. It was just that. And, of course, with me, you talked about, too, near the end when Thor came back with that cool axe and he was just laying the smack down on everybody. That was awesome. And then I know Annette would probably agree too when he just threw that axe in Thanos' chest. That was beautiful too. He's like, I told you
awesome.
I would kill you. I can't when I saw you again. I'm like,
and
yes.
The best part was when Thanos came back and goes, you should have aimed for the head.
Yes,
I
know.
Like,
that was epic. Yeah.
That was awesome.
That part got me. I was like, that was nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite action scene was the one where Thanos pulls the moon down.
Oh, yeah.
And basically just takes the power of the moon and aims it right up them and just wrecks crap up.
Yes.
But, there's pretty much all the action scenes in this movie were above average.
Yeah, it was. Even the whole Wakanda battle thing,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and I think the fun part was watching all the characters sort of mix and match and work together as teams, whether it's, Rocky Raccoon and the White Wolf, a.k.a. Bucky, a.k.a. the Winter Soldier, whatever the hell his name is this time.
Exactly, right.
They keep changing his name. In every movie, he's a different character.
Yeah, we'll just call him Bucky. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, or you have, you have Groot, helping out Thor's new weapon, or you have...
That was awesome, too.
Yeah, just everybody working together. But I think my second favorite thing has nothing to do with action. I just got to say it. Chris, what I'm going to say. Peter Dinklage playing a giant...
I know. That was like the greatest cameo ever right there. Because that really caught me off guard. I was like, what?
So did we ever find out what I think it's called Lovins. What was his name on the Muppets? The giant Muppet?
I would have to look it up. But I know exactly what you're talking about, though.
Did you ever watch the Muppet movies, Annette? Or any of the Muppet stuff?
I think so, yeah.
There
it was
this one
a while ago, though.
It was 40 years ago. Can you believe it?
Wow.
So, They had this giant Muppet, and his name was Lovey or Mr. Lovins or something, and he was this giant, and he was always fun. It was a guy in a suit. You could tell. It was really cool.
Right.
And like a precursor to Chewbacca. Yeah. And in this movie, when they first showed Peter Dinklage's character, I thought that was that kind of character. I was like, oh, my God, did they get the giant from Game of Thrones? No, they got the midget from Game of Thrones to play the giant.
Right.
They got Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
And I
know.
Like,
a giant dwarf, who would have thought?
Yeah, a giant dwarf, and it was so cool. I was like, Peter Dinklage, but you were also in X-Men, but you played a different guy.
Yes.
And And so I was like, go Peter Dinklage. You're in a good movie again. It's
yes,
been a while.
That was cool.
Yes.
It was fun.
And he was funny, too. Remember when he was like, you know, the thing might kill you? He was like, yeah, that's what getting killed does.
That was great.
Why do they say that? They always tell the good guy, if you do this, it'll kill. If you do this heroic thing,
right,
it'll kill you. And it never does.
Right.
It never does.
It almost got him, but yeah, Thor came through, of course. Yeah.
Like, even in the Superman movies, if you do this, it'll kill you, but no, it doesn't.
Right.
No,
right.
It doesn't. It'll just really, really make you weak.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah. I don't even think for Thor it made him weak.
No, it just made him pass out, and he literally just fell on that platform, and that was it.
And then he came back and wrecked crap up.
Yes, did he ever.
I think it was really epic. Yeah,
it was awesome.
Go Thor. And yes. So let's finish up with our favorite cameos besides Peter Dinklage. So, Annette, favorite cameos of actors that you didn't expect to see in this movie? Are there any? Because pretty much everybody in the universe is in this movie at some point.
Right.
But was there anybody that showed up or any character that showed up that you didn't expect, that you were genuinely surprised to see, even if you hadn't seen the original movies?
I'm going to say no, only because, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. So I thought it was really cool to see so many different superheroes in one place. And for the most part, I think they handled it pretty well. I thought the raccoon was funny, though.
He was great.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, the rabbit?
Yeah, I know.
Right, raccoon.
He's like, wait, what?
So, Rocky Raccoon, right, is played by Bradley Cooper.
I know, and, all people.
And a couple years ago, I don't know if you remember that, there was this conversation about why there was no Wonder Woman movie, right? And the idea was Warner Brothers used to say, we don't think people are ready for a Wonder Woman movie. And the Marvel people would say, look, we just made a movie with a talking raccoon with a machine gun and a tree. And people loved it. So where's your Wonder Woman movie? And yeah, so go Rocky Raccoon. He's always awesome, though.
He's really good.
So Chris, same question. Surprises?
Right. Well, you already know me and you talked about it, Molly. You brought that up. I hope I'm not stealing it from you, too.
But go ahead.
No, when they put the Red Skull of all people in there, I'm like, how did he fit in there? He's put him in there. And then remember, that's what we were just talking about. I'm surprised. Well, yeah, I guess I am surprised that Hugo Weaving didn't reprise the role. They got some other guy to play him, but
that was different. What he's referring to is the Red Skull, who was the bad guy in the original Captain America movie, played by the great Hugo Weaving.
Yes.
And a lot of people thought he was wasted. Like, where did he go? And I think was that the first movie that actually talked about the Infinity Stone?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, because that's when they had the Tesseract. Yeah.
The Tesseract, yeah. So I don't even remember.
I know, right? But, the glowing cube. There we go.
So in this movie, when they're on the planet, when he sacrifices Gamora, the character in the robe that looked like the Grim Reaper?
Yeah, that
was Red Skull. But, Chris, you surprised me because I actually thought it was Hugo Weaving.
But then I listened to the voice, too, and I'm like, wait a minute, it doesn't quite sound like him. But, yeah, they said that Hugo Weaving, he basically turned his nose up at reprising the role. I'm like, why?
Which is funny because the character doesn't have a nose.
I know. So. Exactly. Right? I know.
Now, I don't know if this is going to come into effect, but, Chris, because you're familiar with the comic books, there's an allegory. This is all an allegory to the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, right?
Right.
And now I read just far enough, and Annette, this is a spoiler for me as it is for you. Apparently, the Grim Reaper is somehow involved in all this. And do you think, Chris, that the Hugo Weaving, the Red Skull character, is the Grim Reaper in this? Do you think that he's going to have some effect because he looks just like the Grim Reaper?
He does. And you know, in the comics too, again, they changed it here, but in the comics, Thanos, he was obsessed with death. And in the comics, go figure, I guess death is a female, is a woman, you know, so it's crazy.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I know, right? But yeah, but in this universe, who knows? Yeah, maybe he really will be the Grim Reaper because he does look like the Grim Reaper. He's wearing all black. You can't see his body. All he sees is his face. That's it, you know? Looks like he was
floating.
And
he doesn't die. He doesn't die either. He's still sort of there.
Yeah, he's just like a purgatory or something. It's just weird, you know?
I wonder if he's happy.
Like, I don't know.
Like, you think he's happy living on a planet that looks like it was, like,
right. He
you
just
know.
Exists. Yeah, it's like, I'm here. That's it.
You get like, when you choose poorly.
Right, that's it, basically.
Well, I think that's pretty much pretty much it as far as spoilers go. I think if you've probably seen the movie, but this podcast has gone on so long, you probably saw the movie before we started and you finished watching.
Yeah, so, right.
So, final thoughts before we wrap this up. Annette, final thoughts. Do your sales pitch. What people should expect. What do you think people should do about Avengers Infinity War?
I think you should go see it if you haven't. And if you have seen it,
see it again.
Go read my review on Pop Zara and comment on it, because I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Right? Yes,
wow.
Same here.
That is so inclusive of you to do that. That's amazing. I love it.
Well, I would love to have my reviews be more of a conversation. So I've always tried to do that. I share them on my Twitter. I share them on my Facebook and Instagram. And I'd love to hear what people think. I mean, go ahead and challenge me. If you think I'm wrong, you know, tell me. You know, I'd love to hear other people's thoughts.
You are inviting the good people and the bad people. So
right.
We'll see what happens.
Come all.
Right.
I didn't agree with that thing you said, so I don't agree with anything. So, no, absolutely. Please read Annette's review. She did a great job. So, Chris, final thoughts on your end.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm in agreement. Yeah, definitely go see the movie. Just check it out. Matter of fact, I was just talking to my friend last night, and he said he's going to just make some plans to go see it. So, yeah, that comes highly recommended. And just make sure you stay after the credits, you know, for that.
Yes.
Samuel Jackson thing. Just bring on Captain Marvel, that's all I can say.
And let's reveal our final thing. So did we all get the reference to the next big thing in the Marvel Universe from that end credit scene?
Right. Well, I'm sure, of course, I did. But, of course, like, you know, you not familiar with the Marvel Universe, yeah. That's why I guess like let Annette know, too. Yeah, they're representing Captain Marvel. That's like her little symbol at the very end. Red and blue with the gold stars and stuff. Yeah, that's her.
So am I right when I read on Wikipedia that in the comic books, Thanos pretty much became a Captain Marvel bad guy for a long time?
I think so, yeah.
So, but of course, back then, again, this is the 70s and 80s, Captain Marvel was not a woman.
Exactly.
Was a guy, so.
Right, because I remember when she came along, I think they were calling like Ms. Marvel or something at first, and then yeah, they're just like, I'll just call her Captain Marvel.
Yep, so Captain Marvel is now female, and I think Miss Marvel is also a female, but she's also a Muslim American, correct?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the newer one. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we are seeing the future of the Marvel Universe, guys, and the future is female.
Exactly.
So, see what I did there, Gloria Steinem? You need to like us on Facebook for that. So, and with that, guys, I would say thank you once and all for assembling for this super-powered version of the Pop Zara podcast. We have been talking, spoiling, and basically lauding all over Marvel's Avengers Infinity War. It's out in theaters now. It broke pretty much almost, but not quite, every box office record. People seem to really like it, despite the fact that it had the most nihilistic ending you could imagine. So, but I think we all are in agreement that it could not have ended any other way and been as effective. So, and like any good comic book, the dead will probably rise again with multiple sequels because they're not going to kill off the cash cow. But until then, I would say, just like you guys said, everybody should watch Avengers Infinity War. Go see it. Go love it. Then come back to Pop Zara and talk about it. And no hate mail to anybody, because we won't stand for that much. Unless it's really creative hate mail, then we'll stand for that.
Right.
Yep. I want to thank our guest today, Annette Palmer, who also wrote the review for Avengers Infinity War, and our producer and senior editor, Chris Mitchell, for joining us, because he knows more about this crap than anybody I've ever met in my life. So,
thanks.
Bringing up the details. And with that, thank you for listening to the Pop Zara podcast. We'll see you guys on the next level, in the next chapter, and all that good stuff. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Pop Zara podcast. For more quality original content, check out PopZara.com for the latest reviews and previews in gaming, movies, tech, and more.